Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's Pokeballs podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lee, also known as Osiris, and of course, always joined by my fellow co-host, Scott. How are you doing, mate? You having a good week?
Yeah, actually, I am. I'm feeling very well rested, which I haven't. Excellent. It's finally getting to a stage where I feel okay, because last week was just brutal. I think I went to the gym quite a lot last week as well, and that mixed with not having slept for like 4 weeks properly prior to that was just like every night I was just like, I'm not getting enough sleep. But I woke up this morning and I actually felt okay. So how about you? How's your week been?
Yeah, I'm a little bit the same, mate. I think the last couple of weeks I've been like putting in a lot of miles on the treadmill, and
it's good.
Like working, I feel like I've been working like nonstop. And I think the combination of both is really like, I think after this past weekend, where we didn't really do a lot, but it was just super late night on Saturday evening. And then like, I was just feeling like almost like hungover, like how you feel when you're hungover, but I wasn't drinking, you know, I was just so tired and so exhausted. And I think I've kind of carried on this week and I'm just not kind of getting out the groove of like, feeling normal again. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure like a lot of people will relate to that, yourself included, where you just like your body just feels kind of like you need to just take a little step back, a little break. And I just feel a little bit like that at the minute, but I'm kind of conscious of it, so it's not getting me down or anything. It's just I just feel a little bit lethargic and a little bit tired. So I'm just hoping, I've had a complete, like I haven't done anything exercise today other than a little walk. So that was fine. So I'm hoping a good night's sleep tonight, feel refreshed morning, feel good, mate. So other than that, mate, I'm all right. I just feel a little bit like a bit more tired than I usually do, which is weird. But I guess it's just settling into like new routines and stuff like that. But otherwise, all right, mate. All right.
Well, you've been putting a lot of content out, to be fair, you know?
Yeah, it's been doing different things, I guess, over on the channel as well to kind of fill some gaps that we've had recently. So, but it's been, yeah, fun. And like the last two videos, I guess I've done on the channel, the big ones, there've been a lot of, like different editing. So it's been a lot more kind of taxing on the editing side of it rather than just being a simple talk into the camera, record, and then go and just chop it up to look clean. It's been like heavy editing on it, which has been really nice, but different for me to do something like that, taking a lot more time in that sort of respect of things. But it does take a lot out of you when you're like concentrating down on the screen a lot more. And also been streaming now, getting into a bit more of a regular cycle with streaming as well. So that's something probably that's adding to it, but enjoying it, mate, enjoying it. It's been good. So just, I just think like yourself, just need a little bit more sleep. But talking about sleep, it's a good topic for us to
kind of segue.
And the listeners are going to be like, they set this up. We didn't set this up, but we could almost say it's perfectly set up for what we'll be talking about to kick off the podcast this week, mate.
So it's with a mouthful of cookie. Pokemon Sleep officially, as of yesterday for you guys, today for us, is basically out around the world.
Everywhere.
Properly. That's not come up. Okay. everything's failing.
The blank screen. It's failing.
Okay, it's all right. It's there.
There we go.
So it's
this
out.
This is a little device, isn't it?
It's out properly now. Pokemon Sleep. It's out of the beta phase. Tonight, I'm going to try it. Lee's also going to try it. And the big topic of conversation, really, at the moment, is this thing, the Pokemon Go Plus accessory. So, just before we talk about this briefly, as you may or may not know, there are two ways to track or use the Pokemon Sleep app. The first way, which I think is going to be the least popular way, and why this will sell well, and why I'm contemplating buying one, you have to have Pokemon Sleep open on your phone when you're sleeping, and they recommend you plug it in and you put it face down on your bed, on your pillow next to you, or just somewhere on your bed. And that way it can obviously track your sleep. God knows how it actually does. Maybe the gyro, how much it moves. But the main thing it does, which the benefit of having it using the phone over the device, is that it records the noises that you make when you sleep. Which is weird. Yes and no. For those that sleep talk, it might be funny. I think I know both me and yourself both sleep talk quite aggressively sometimes. So
sleepers.
You know, that could be quite funny to see what you're rambling on about in the sleep. But realistically, I don't think it's... I guess it depends on the type of person you are, because I've got into a habit recently of charging my phone on my desk, so I don't wake up and go on it straight away in the mornings. Mm. And so I don't want it next to my bed, you know? So
that was my biggest thing about it. I kind of don't want it next to my pillow. I don't want it next to my head or up towards the top of the bed. I like to have it kind of away from where I'm sleeping. Which is strange because, like I've already said on previous podcasts, you know, I find it hard to switch off at night. So I need to have, I always watch something to fall asleep to. And it's a terrible habit, I know, but it allows me to kind of concentrate on one thing. So my brain's not like spaghetti thinking about like a million and one things. And I don't think having my phone next to my head would like help that. And it definitely isn't going to be recording me going to sleep straight away, because I don't go to sleep straight away. I'm not one of those people that just lie down and just go to sleep. So I don't know if that in that respect it would work for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. See, the thing is with sleep tracking and the whole like wearables thing has always been interesting to me, because to a certain extent, you know, tracking sleep and certain sort of exercise, you can attain a lot of information from your heart rate, really, and that's how a lot of information is you know, is gathered on these devices, which makes me wonder like how well this is going to work, because obviously when you're tracking a heart rate, you can see when it slows. When you're in REM sleep, your heart rate's probably super low, right? Because you're going to be you're relaxed, you won't be moving. And then obviously if you move about a lot, it's got a spike, which that's how it knows that you've had a rough sleep or something, right? Whereas with this, I mean, I would hope it must have a gyro or something in it, but it's in my head, how is it going to be that accurate? Like, I'm assuming you have to press it before you go to bed and press it when you wake up.
Yeah, so to set this into like the sleep mode, you've got to put it down onto like a flat surface, and then you press the button and it lights up like this once, and then it's into that sleep recording mode.
So then you still have to put it on your pillow.
You have to put it, I think, on the top of the bed where like your phone would be, but this doesn't record any audio or anything like that. The thing that I've got the problem with if I use my phone and it's picking up recordings, you know, like just for instance, I'm watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy at the minute to go to sleep to, so I'm making my way through that at the minute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to take me a while, because I'll probably watch maybe like 40 minutes to maybe an hour, if that, and then I'll pick up the next night. But the first like 40 minutes of me active, if I am using my phone, is going to be all audio recordings of like Gandalf, Legolas and orcs fighting. So it's going to be like, I don't know. That's what my biggest, like, I guess I'll test it tonight and see what it turns out to be like. I can feed this back next week. But I think the Pokemon Go Plus has maybe a little bit more of an advantage in that respect, that it's not recording the audio, which I'm not worried about. But like I say, I do have my reservations with how accurate it can be. Like you say, I think the most accurate sleep recorders are going to be at the moment probably like a smartwatch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is attached to, which is reading your heart rate the entire time. But they're not like completely accurate either, you know? And I know me and Tash have both got them, and there's times where you've just been like I say, like I'll be watching something, but I'd be so relaxed when I'm watching something, my heart rate is like bottomed out, and I'm like almost, it's, and the watch is picking up like I am asleep, but I'm definitely not asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like 100% accurate. And I don't think, you know, when a watch that's connected to you isn't 100% accurate, is this going to be that accurate with feeding data back to you? So no, whether or not people use it for like,
I don't think
all it... I mean is like, Sorry, go on.
No, sorry, I'm interrupted. I was just going to say, I don't think, obviously, the point of it isn't to be an accurate sleep tracker, but
no,
it depends how important that is a role in the game.
That's what I was going to get to, yeah.
We can come back to next week, obviously, when we've tried it for a little bit.
Yeah, I think the big thing, the appeal to it is going to be the game side to it. It's people aren't buying it to be like more health conscious about their sleep, which it will have that added bonus to. But I think the big draw to it is the game side to it and the bonuses that you get from having better sleep. Obviously unlock different things in the game, make certain rarer Pokemon appear, even shinies appear and stuff like that. But if it's not recording properly and you're not getting the rewards for doing things right because it's not being accurate
enough.
But
what's to stop you to be like, just like going, like say, just faking it basically, like going to bed at like 9 o'clock, turning it over, put it on a flat surface, maybe in an empty room, and then coming back in the morning and being like, yep, I just had 12 hours sleep. But wow,
yeah,
great.
I don't think there's anything.
Here's a 1,000% bonus for not moving in your sleep at all.
Well, I've heard people with the Pokemon Go Plus, you can put it on your desk and put it into a sleep mode if you're being like quiet, I'm pretty sure. And I think the bonuses that you get in Pokemon Go for the sleep related bonuses, it has to be in that sleep mode for like 90 minutes for it to count as like the bonus, however it works in Pokemon Go. I don't know because I haven't had the device yet, so I'm not really too familiar with it. But I'm pretty sure you're probably going to be able to kind of fake it on you just to get the in-game bonuses. And people are going to like 100% figure it out and then abuse the system. And then why not, you know? I think as a device as well, not just for Pokemon Sleep, but as an actual device for Pokemon Go, what I've seen, how it works with Pokemon Go, I think it is a great device for Pokemon Go players.
This brings us on to the hot topic of discussion. Back to this device. Is it worth the money? And in your eyes, and from what you briefly explained to me before the podcast, if you play Pokemon Go, it does seem like it's worth the money.
I think if you play Pokemon Go and you are a big Pokemon Go player, I think it's well worth the money. I honestly do. I think for what it does.
So what does it do? Because we didn't actually get to, you didn't. It's
a bit like the Pokemon Go Plus, where I don't know if you're familiar with that device. This is like the predecessor to this one, right?
Did it go on your wrist?
You can get like a little strap and it'll clip on there or clip on your belt or clip on a bag or whatever, where you can automatically spin Pokemon stops for you. So if you're out and about and you're just kind of walking around places, you don't need to kind of keep your phone out. It will automatically spin the Pokestops. It'll automatically catch Pokemon with Pokeballs, whereas this upgrade allows you to kind of automatically catch with Great Balls, Ultra Balls now, so you've got that added bonus as well. But I think overall it's just generally an upgrade on that original device and better. And the original device as well took batteries, so you had to replace the batteries in it. Can you believe that? This one is rechargeable, so that's a huge step forward.
I mean, for
that sort of thing,
for 50 quid, I mean, you'd hope so.
Oh man, could you imagine paying £50 and getting it and being like, oh yeah, battery's not included?
Especially in this day and age. I mean, for what it is as well, it's essentially a battery in a case and with a Bluetooth.
I think there's another feature on it as well that it has like a Pikachu kind of alert. To it, like where
it has a Pikachu in it, apparently.
Yeah, so that alert will go off in Pokemon Go if you come across a Pokemon that you haven't got registered in your Pokedex, so that you're not able to automatically catch that Pokemon. But a Pikachu alert, if you've got it active on the device itself, will kind of give you a notification, allowing you to be like, oh, there's a Pokemon, I haven't got my Pokedex here, so I can actually go into the Pokemon Go on your phone and then catch it, you know, manually. So where's that? So it's got the kind of two sides to it. I think it'll probably be more useful for Pokemon Go players. I'm kind of skeptical at the minute with how well Pokemon Sleep as an app's gonna do. I'm definitely looking forward to trying it and giving it a go.
It looks very interesting. I've seen some streamers messing about with it, and I'm always very, you know, when you see the people you like doing stuff, you're always like, I was trying to get the vibe of, I mean, I haven't seen it all over Twitter yet, but it hasn't, granted, it hasn't been out for long, but, you know, if it's something that, because Pokemon tend to do this, I mean, Pokemon Go is a prime example of getting rando people who kind of like Pokemon to do something Pokemon related, right? When it dropped, everyone was playing Go, right? It wasn't just, everyone in their nan was playing just because that's what everyone was doing. You went outside, you played Pokemon Go. And so it will be interesting to see if this is an app that kind of gets you into that thing. I don't know. I don't think it will, but it depends on what cool stuff they do. Because my point was, I've seen a few streamers and stuff talk about it already and post about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Whether it catches on to other people, is it just a gimmick? I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
But that's a big thing, I think. Is it going to just have that like really short life, kind of shelf life to it, where for a month or two it's going to be like the hot topic and then go away? I think if it is for a month or two, still gone in like 2 months, if we're still talking about it, Pokemon Sleep, you know, I think then it's probably going to have quite a kind of a collective kind of fan base within the Pokemon Sleep community. It'll be a new community within the community.
You've only got to look at Go, right? Like, Go died after that initial wave of the normies played it, right? There was a time where everyone was playing it, and obviously, naturally, people got bored of it eventually. And for a long time, personally, I thought, didn't really know much about Go. Like, I knew it still existed, but I thought it had a dead player base. But obviously, we go to Pokemon live Pokemon events, and it turns out it's still thriving as ever. Like, there's a massive loyal fan base that play this all over the globe. There's Pokemon Go Fest. I'm actually, okay, random tangent. It's not a tangent. I was going to go and meet our friend Zoe up in London for Pokemon Go Fest, but the timings got mixed up and I basically can't meet her. I couldn't get the same ticket she had because there's like, it's done in a park and you get a morning and an afternoon ticket. There weren't any morning tickets left, which is what she had. But I'm going to go up there because you don't need a ticket for the city part because people just go into the city to play Go, basically. I think they just increase the amount of stops and drops and whatever around the city. So I'm going to meet her play that. But yeah, my point was Go Fest around the world happening in August.
You should vote. I'm just going to say now, you should VOD that for the channel. That would be really cool. I would enjoy seeing it.
Okay.
I'll even edit it for you if you need to edit it.
Okay.
Just do it.
Okay, I will. Just for the boys.
Good. Yeah.
But yeah, back to my point. It's popping still. And, you know, they've been making bad decisions and people have been very, very vocal about it. It's not a niche thing. It's still a huge thing, right? And I think that is the power of mobile apps, right? Because everyone has a phone, and so if you can crack it, I mean, you've only got to look at gacha games. I mean, these rando bloody games that exist on the app store that have millions upon millions of downloads, and you're like, why does this exist? It just does because people just like having shit on their phone, and so this could be something like that. But we just have to wait and see. Like you said, if we're still talking about it in 2 months' time, then it probably will end up keeping a loyal fan base. I can't see it being as big as Pogo, but it depends on what, you know, they do. Whether you can...
Depends what integrations they have with it as well. The one thing that I keep coming back to is, like, are they at some point down the line going to give it home compatibility?
You can shiny hunt, right? This is a big thing people were saying. As we mentioned it briefly in the last podcast, you can shiny hunt in Pokemon Go. Obviously, it all comes back to the sleeping again, as we've talked about. But, you know, people are going to want to, Pokemon Go, one of the draws to it is that you can catch the game, the catch Pokemon in Pokemon Go, you can transfer it to home and then put it in whatever is the current game, right? Pokemon Sleep, there currently isn't any way to do that. And in my head, it would be stupid of them not to do that because I think it would be a massive selling point for the game.
I think so as well. I think it gives you an incentive then to do it because you get some of these rarer exclusive Pokemon that aren't available anywhere else, and they're going to have like a special mark that they're from Pokemon Sleep, maybe a special ribbon that shows up in the games. So I think there's definitely like scope there. They just need to figure out how to have compatibility between Pokemon Sleep and then, but they worked it out with Goal, right? So yeah, why not work it out with Sleep? I just think it's like a big thing that they could
maybe they're
do.
Holding it back and deliberately that is... so that it is something they could hype up with it again.
Yeah, bring it back into kind of the discussion, you know, later down the line, like you say, to kind of just keep it relevant and keep that conversation of it in the forefront of a lot of people's minds. So yeah, hopefully it does well. I'm looking forward to trying it. I think we should both report back with our sleep data next week, how we found it. I do have a Pokemon Go Plus ordered, so that comes out this Friday in Europe. So I should get mine Friday, so I'll be able to have a play around with that. And
well, you can give me your opinion. I mean,
yeah,
I might get one because, like I said, I don't really... I'll do it for this week because I want to see what the app is actually like, but I don't really want to have my phone on my bed overnight. But
nah, I'm exactly the same as that. Whereas I don't know. I've heard the light on the Pokemon Go Plus is pretty bright. It's another
thing. You could whip it under a pillow, though.
You could, yeah.
We'll see. We'll just have to wait and see.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that is happening at the moment. Let us know if you are trying it at for yourselves, how you've been finding the app, or if you're getting the Pokemon Go Plus and you've got some experience with it, or how you found it after purchasing it. It would be great to get some feedback from everyone that's getting involved with it at the minute to get some just different opinions on what you all think of this new venture into the Pokemon franchise.
Yeah, because unfortunately at the moment that's really the only thing Pokemon seems to care about, because they ain't fucking giving us anything else.
No, it's a bit dry. Although this is the week where, you know, if you were
you had
to peg your money on anything happening this week, it would be this week, right?
Would you like to explain to the viewers?
As this podcast has gone live today on Wednesday, this is the anniversary of the 25th anniversary for Mewtwo and Mew movie, the Mewtwo Strikes Back movie. So it's a big date. Obviously, we've got a big update coming to Pokemon Unite on Friday the 21st. And that is going to have a Mewtwo. Mewtwo is going to be added to the games in Pokemon Unite, as well as a playable character. And that will happen on Friday with the update from that. Then you've got a big announcement with the anime that's going to be happening. Kind of don't really know what the announcement's going to be, but it is going to be something related to the anime, which might have some calling to Mewtwo. You would expect probably is going to be related to Mewtwo. You've got the Pokeball and the Pokemon Go Plus releasing in Europe at least on Friday officially. And we've had Pokemon Sleep release this week as well, which is big. And then on the horizon as well, you know, we've got Obsidian Flame on the way for Pokemon TCG. That's getting hyped up. Lots of things are getting leaked out from that set. So there's lots going on there. You've got the 151 set as well on the horizon. So there's, you know, there's lots going on in the Pokemon community for them to talk about. We've touched
there's lots going on, but there's
Direct.
Not a lot going on.
Yeah, basically. And then the gap week, I think the big tell for me on Sunday night when the Rillaboom raid got announced, I was like, please, it's a Rillaboom. Wait a minute. It's not coming this Friday like it normally would. There's a big gap. It's not coming for 2 weeks, but they've announced it anyway. So it's like, well, what are they doing this weekend? Because it just seems odd that they've delayed it by a week. Only thing that you can think is we've got the data mine information. We know how Mew interacts with that 7-star Mewtwo Terror Raid. We've had data mined information on it. And that bit of text that was in a recent update about Mew going up against a formidable opponent. It just feels too aligned for there not to be something happening this week on this 25th anniversary. With everything else that's going on, I feel like we could get a mini direct. They may just end up shadow dropping all this stuff, you know, just tweeting all it out, and we might get a DLC trailer. We might not, though. So I don't know. But a lot of like sources on Twitter that are very reliable, leaker sources have kind of hinted at, you know, a trailer coming very soon, sooner than what everyone thinks. So it would indicate with everything that's going on, I feel like this week is going to be the week that we get something. But as of recording this video, Tuesday night, the 18th, we have nothing. Like
we waited specifically to tonight because we were like, we thought it was going to drop on Monday. No, we thought it was going to drop on Tuesday. Nope.
The announcement. Yeah.
We could have recorded tomorrow morning, but nothing would have been announced until at least 2 o'clock, and we dropped the podcast at one, or when this goes live, the podcast won't. The announcements in Japan aren't normally until 2 o'clock BST time, so it wouldn't have made any sense to put it out much longer. But in my head, it does. It would make sense. The raid makes a lot of sense for this to happen this week. What day it is, I don't know. I feel like the later we get, I feel like we have to get something this week. And the later the week gets on, it would make sense to maybe drop something on a Friday. You know, I just
feel like they never really do stuff on a Friday, though.
They don't. That's
why it makes me feel like it's going to be Thursday, if it's going to be any day. I just don't see them. Unless they do a shadow drop and then they announce it like tomorrow, which is today as of Wednesday on the anniversary itself. But I just feel like they need to do like a mini presents at very least and then announce it at the end for the terror raid.
It would make sense. Like, I think they could just, this is the thing, right? Because we spoke about this briefly about like, it feels like the DLC, the dates of the DLC are hot topic for debate, right? No one really knows when it's coming, because it still says, both of them still say 2023, okay, which is very interesting for many reasons, as we've discussed in the past. But the main thing about that being interesting is if that is true, and we've basically already had confirmation that nothing will be coming out in August, then September seems like a very likely drop if they're going to drop the Indigo disc as well as the Teal Mask in the latter half of the year. It would have to be September for them to drop, for there to be enough of a gap. Otherwise, there's no point. If the Indigo disc isn't coming until next year, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, there's that 4 month period of when it could drop. Really, if it doesn't come next year,
yeah.
I mean, we'll know. Once we get the first one, we'll know when the second one's coming out. If the first one comes out in September, 100%. We'll get another one, I reckon, by the end of the year. If it comes out October, November, I reckon it'll be January, February the following year, or next year, 2024.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think everything at the minute's looking like it's going to be September, though, because we've got that resting period or the preparation period.
We're on
the 31st of August.
It's the 18th of July today, or 19th of July, when this podcast drops. You know, if the DLC is dropping in September, like, surely they want to start hyping it up now. Like, it's only like a month. That's like a month and a half away, September.
Yeah, and we only had that really tiny little trailer recently in that Nintendo Direct.
They haven't really properly gone ham on it yet. So would make sense in my head, especially with now that Sleep has dropped. You know, maybe that's why they haven't announced the compatibility with Home yet. Maybe they're saving it for a direct so that they've actually got more shit to put into a presents. You can also transfer Pokemon to Home and to other games from Pokemon Sleep.
Yeah.
But
the other thing as well is to consider, like, it, I think they need to do it now. In my personal opinion, from the lead time that they've got, if they are releasing it in September, I think they need to drop a trailer now to tease something. Whether that be a little bit more information on Baby Terrapagos or a new, you know, a new regional form or regional fake form, Pokemon, I don't know, but I do feel like they need to drop something now to kind of start that snowball to get that formal going for September drop, if that is the date. And I don't think they're gonna drop a trailer at Worlds. They're gonna reveal something at Worlds. But they normally release, like, tease a new Pokemon or a new mechanic or new moves like they've done in the past. I don't think it's going to be anything huge at Worlds. It'll just be to kind of, like, whet the appetite a little bit. Whereas if they drop something big, you know, in the next week or two, that really gives us a lot of speculation about, oh, what's this? Yeah, then they can build on that at Worlds, which we know we're going to get. And Worlds is only like 3-4 weeks away, so it's not too long. So I think it would work out perfectly. And then after Worlds, you've got like 4 weeks maybe until the DLC drops. And then, yeah, I think you do get both of them this year. I think with all the stuff that we'll get onto later in the podcast about Black and White 3 coming next year, a new game coming next year, I think you need to get these games out this year. So in February, the next Pokemon Day, you announce next game for next November.
I feel like we can dive deep into some of the stuff in a minute, but I feel like if they do end up doing the first of its kind, a trilogy, i.e. Black and White 3, I feel like they're going to want to hype the shit out of that. And so having basically from February to November to hype it up would make a lot of sense. I can't really remember what the hype schedule was for Scarlet and Violet. Like, when did they tease it? Was it like Pokemon Presents? Like, how did they spread it out from like Pokemon Day in February to like the actual drop last year in November?
It was announced. It was announced on Pokemon Day, because I remember, actually, you know, Ross, Pokemon TCG caster.
Yeah.
TCG Radio. I remember him putting a tweet out saying it's not there. It was something along the lines of, it's definitely not going to be Gen 9. And I said to him, I said, and then you can go back and look at my tweets, and I said, I bet you, what was it like? I think it was Evolving Skies at the time when he tweet, and I said, I bet you a booster box of Evolving Skies that it is. Eddie never took me up on it, and he purposely ignored that tweet as well. And the next time I saw him was Worlds, so it was like way after the direct, and he was like, I'm so pleased I didn't take you up on that. Because like I was so convinced that like the time, with everything that I think Koo had been saying, everything that a lot of like other stuff that had come out, I was just so convinced that Gen 9 was coming. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna throw something big up on the line here to be like, yeah, it's definitely gonna be it, and not to toot my own horn or anything, because it could have easily been wrong and I would have been out of pocket. But I mean, I was quite like, that's how convinced I was, and I think that lead time is probably all they need really for, you know, Black and White.
But
three,
how much did they, in that month span, you'll know better than me, because unfortunately I'm a big Pokemon fan, but I go through periods where I pay attention and I don't, so I didn't really, I paid attention to the trailers, but like that time between it being announced and the drop, like how much did they hype it up in between, you know? Was there
probably
a lot?
Not as much as you thought. I think they're like, I vaguely remember thinking like, and it being talked about as well in the run-up to Scarlet and Violet being officially released, about the lack of
promotion, like,
official trailers. They didn't do very much in regards to dropping trailers. They did a lot towards the end before November release, but not as much as you kind of wanted to expect. Like, it was a lot of repeat kind of footage. There was tiny little tidbits of things.
But unless,
you know,
unless they knew it was shit. Not shit, but like they knew the problems were going to happen. So maybe they didn't want to overhype it because of the what was happening. You know?
I don't think. I think when you compare it,
the
like,
exciting thing is that if we do get one, it's going to be, I don't care what anyone says, there's definitely a new Switch coming out next year. 100%. And I reckon
they'll
announce it soon.
It
will be on a new console.
It's going to be on that. It's going to be the first Pokemon game on the new console. Yeah, so it will be. I think you're 100% right with that.
They have to hype it up.
I think we're going to get a new Switch way earlier than what everyone's thinking. You know, I think it's going to be like that. Maybe this, like, it'll be like after April next year, but it'll be in that period, that early period of the year when we get a new Switch. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets a new Switch or whatever it is, the next gen console, let's call it, rather than the next Switch. The next gen console gets announced in September by Nintendo. I think there's so much happening in, like, rumor wise in regards to like stuff happening with the next gen console from so many different sources online that it just feels like that September date.
The thing is, as well, I think that game would be the reason, like I've said this in the past, like the reason I bought a Switch, the OG reason I bought a Switch was because I knew I wanted to play competitive Pokemon. And in order to do that, I knew it was going to transition to the Switch eventually. That's the only reason I bought one originally. And
I'm exactly with you there.
And so the reason, don't get me wrong, I'm sure the new console will be wicked. But Pokemon is the main draw to me for this. And competitive Pokemon is the main reason I own the Switch. But if they drop one in April, I'm probably not going to buy it until the games drop. But the thing is, if it's a big release and it is Black and White 3, they're probably going to do a special console, right? So it would make sense to get a lot of people to buy the console with this game, right? They could do a special version of the console like they have done with the Breath of the Wild, the Tears of the Kingdom one, the Scarlet and Violet one. They could do whatever type of console it is, you know, they could. And again, it leads up to Christmas because in my head, you get the early adopters that will pre-order it. A lot of people will pre-order it. But there'll still be the majority of people will be on the fence. And that time between the drop in April, whenever it ends up being, and Christmas will be the do I buy this people? We'll give them the time to work out whether they want to buy it based on everyone else that's bought one. And then it will sell like hotcakes at Christmas. And if that game comes out in November, which it will, because that's when they always drop it, the second week of November, the 17th, 18th, whatever it is.
Loads of consoles, it was a lot of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially because it's got the nostalgia factor to it as well.
It's just a goldmine, as we already said. As we know, the classic games have a gold. Oh, just a goldmine. Yeah. It'll be first of its kind, but the first Pokemon game on the new console, you know, and
you know, maybe that Black and White. You're getting me thinking about something here. You know, we've talked about it. It's been a running theme throughout many podcasts recently about the Classic Collection coming to the GB and GBA ports on the Switch, right? Uh-huh. And why have the Pokemon games, the biggest games for those consoles, not been dropped yet? Do you think, with the news that we know, that they're going to transfer, there's going to be a facility where you can transfer your Switch account to the next-gen console, right? And you're going to be able to keep things that you've got on this, on that new console. That's something that they are doing. They've got a whole, they've employed people to set that facility up. So you think, I've probably got my profile on my new console, right? Do you think another reason that they're not dropping the Pokemon games is because they're exclusively going to do it on that new console and keep them for when that new console drops and say, well, we really want some extra pulls for this new console, so let's just sit on releasing the Classic Collection for the Pokemon games until we've got this next-gen console out, and then we'll do it.
Yes, and the reason why I think it actually makes a lot of sense is because if it's a Black and White game, right, it's an older game. So it's like, oh, here's Black and White remake, whatever. Oh, here's also...
It won't be a remake.
Well, no, you know what I mean. Continuation.
Yeah.
My point is, it's an older game, right? Here's also the back catalogue of all the other old Pokemon games as well to go with the console. So it'll be like a massive nostalgia push for people, which I think will help, as we said. I mean, they don't need help selling the console, but I think that will, you know, it will just help. Or they'll just keep it on the back burner for when the hype dies down. You know, the following year, they'll probably do DLC, but, you know, they'll be like, oh, Classic Collection. But we could all be wrong. You know what the Pokemon company is like? They're unpredictable. I mean, they obviously do have a plan for stuff, which we know they do. It's just trying to work out what the plan is. It's trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's like, what? They don't know. I don't think they know what they're doing half the time. I reckon they know what they want to do, but when and how they do it, they just make up as they go along.
I think we know, though, from the things that Riddlercoo's specifically been dropping. For those of you that are out there that are listening or watching that don't know who Riddlercoo is, he's a very well-renowned leaker on Twitter, and he's been with us since Pokemon Legends Arceus. Got lots of stuff about that game pretty much nailed on, BDSP got pretty much all that nailed on. Scarlet and Violet as well. Dropped lots of things. It's a very, very reliable source. They've been dropping recently lots of sources about, or hints and riddles about Black and White 3. And I think everything kind of points to Black and White 3 coming as the next game. There's a poll, if you go to it, if you can find it on his timeline, there's a poll where this all started from. I don't know if it's that one. I might be a bit further this down, one? But he asked about which, what you think, what would you prefer coming next? And I think it's, you know, let's go Unova, this one, yeah. And it unanimous came back as Pokemon Legends Kyurem. But then later on, there's another tweet later on, this more recent, where he said,
this one,
it's in three or something like that. It's
this one. Want to see the third one today? That one?
No, not that one. There's just, it's just like a one line tweet from him saying it comes in three, but it's like you have to like, it's like first time three, get ready or something along those lines, which is indicating he's been talking about what the next generation, what the next Pokemon game is going to be, and what comes in three. First time or something like that, it's Pokemon Black, Pokemon Black and White 2, and then the, to come in a 3 would be Pokemon Black and White 3, which would be a sequel to Black and White 2. So, and I think with everything else that he's been tweeting, you can scroll through his timeline and go through a bunch of stuff. I mean, he's got Black City and White Forest there as well, which is lots of speculation about that, you know? There's like, is that a Paradox City as well, you know? Is that like, you know, because it's like two different cities and two different games, right?
Mm.
Is there going to be a third city in these sequels? So I don't know, but I think from everything, if you take the time to go through what Kuz kind of put out and break it down, Soul Silver Art's a great person to follow for all of that stuff. They break down all of these tweets and make a lot more sense of them than I am doing right now. But I think everything points towards Black and White 3 coming out as the next game. And I would say that's going to be what we're going to see next November. All honestly, I'm convinced of it at this point. And I don't think we're going to get any news on it anytime soon. I think they're going to sit on it until Pokemon Day. And I think that's when they're going to announce it. I think there might be hints in the DLCs from Pokemon Scarlet and Violet hinting towards it. Especially because one of his tweets where he started off with those characters that we saw in the Indigo Disc, those ones. Well, that tweet there says that one of these characters, not Lacey, has a big effect on the lore of the next Pokemon games. So one of these five characters, I don't think it's going to be our buddies down in the corner that we meet in the Teal Mask. I think it is going to be, you know, there's a lot of speculation. The guy with the pan, is that Alder? Is, you know, is the guy with the white hair, is that any relation to the dragon gym leader? And there's a lot of links to, you know, the dragon lore and Unova, you know, the dragon trio. There's a big story there with them, the splitting of the ultimate dragon into Kyurem, Reshiram and Zekrom. Or does the girl with the braids in her hair, does she have some role to play? I can't remember the scientist's name off the top of my head, but the scientist, it does look very familiar. It was like the first thought I had when I saw her as a character could be linked. So one of them does have some big prominent role in the next Pokemon games. So I would imagine if that's true, we'll probably get some hints to that when the DLCs do drop. Mm. So we can work a little bit more out as and when that happens.
Yeah.
Interesting though. And it's exciting.
It is exciting. It's just frustrating.
Well, it's just the unknown, isn't it? But I do get, I like all this. I like the speculation side of it because I think, it's good to kind of like, you know, I don't mind spoilers too much.
No, neither do I. Even if it's a spoiler,
I'd rather know what was coming rather than like not, you know. But it could be something totally different. It could be completely just not true, whatever we've read, whatever we kind of come to the conclusion of. Until we get official confirmation from Pokemon themselves, then it's all up in the air.
Yeah, so, yeah, we have to just Wait and see. Wait and see. Hopefully we get something today for you guys.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
It's just an announcement of something like tomorrow. On Thursday. Mini direct. Just a direct.
The thing is, as well, we have to remember, what are they announcing on Saturday? On Sunday night? We've had Rillaboom now. Are they just going to be done with the terror raids?
That's the other thing. What do you mean after the second phase of the Rillaboom?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So one, are they going to do a spotlight event? Or is it going to be this muted terror raid that's going to fill the gap this week? Or, like I said, after the Rillaboom coming back, like what? They've still got like a whole month of stuff. Like, are they not going to do anything for like a whole month?
The interesting thing about when the Rillaboom event ends, so that ends on the 6th of August,
mm-hmm.
right? And that week after it ends is the week of the World Championships in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So you would think, are they going to do a special terror raid event for that as well?
That'd be sick.
They could save the Mew and Mewtwo for that event, you know, to kind of have the mystery gift.
What would make a lot of sense in my head, if they are dropping it in September, the first one, the Teal Mask, if they did terror raid specific ones to the DLC, okay, maybe they might not be obvious or not, but they could do the three Guardian Pokemon, you know, they could do those as terror raids leading into the DLC or something. Although, I doubt that. But
what,
like
Tapu Koko?
No, not the Guardians. The Monkey Pokemon. What are they? The new ones for the DLC.
Oh, they're not going to drop those before the DLC comes out.
Yeah, maybe you're right. But I'm trying to think of, like, what terror raids...
Monkadorian.
What terror raids could they do to lead up to the hype of the DLC is what I'm trying to say. You know?
Well, you've got to think, I was talking to Light about this through the week, and, you know, I think there's only, like, six types after the Mewtwo raid happens, whenever that will be. There's only, like, six terror types that aren't covered left to kind of fill in the gaps, and you've got to assume that they're going to do the Mightiest Mark for at least 18 Pokemon, right? And they've all been starters so far. You've got to think three of those starters that they're going to include with the Mightiest Mark. None of them have been from Paldea, right? Which is pretty strange, because like, we are in Paldea, so you've got to assume that we are going to get the starter Pokemon from Scarlet and Violet with the Mightiest Mark at some point, because it doesn't really make much sense that we go into the DLCs and all these other starter Pokemon if it is linked to some sort of special terrestrialization or unique terrestrialization with the masks or however they link up. It just seems odd that we wouldn't get the starter Pokemon from Paldea, from Scarlet and Violet, involved in that, especially when we are in those games. So I feel like they're three Pokemon that they could easily do. I don't know, mate. It's a good question, because I feel like, yeah, you know, there would only be two Terror Raids, I think, after that. Well, there potentially could be three Terror Raids. So you would have to do three Terror Raids. That would be over 6 weeks, right? And after that Rillaboom Raid, we're at the very beginning of August, so the 6th of August, 7th of August, that week could be the start of it. So 6 weeks from there might be the date of that DLC dropping, the first one, the Teal Mask, where they do three more, and it's the starter Pokemon from Scarlet and Violet that they do over those 6 weeks, 2 weeks each, and then the DLCs drop. Because the other thing is, with any other starter Pokemon, we've had all the starter Pokemon that were integrated from Pokemon Home that are available in the games now. We've had all of those starter Pokemon in Terror Raids now. So there's no more information. They can't, like, just bung in, like, some random Infernape into a Terror Raid event without an update in these games right now. So they've got to unlock that with that being available in the DLC somehow. So I feel like the only Pokemon that are available currently in the games that you could do it within without having to do an update to the decks or anything like that would be the Paldea starters getting Mightiest Marks with unique terror typings. I don't know. But that might make sense. That might be it, mate. That might be the crack the code after Rillaboom. If we see the Paldean starters as the next three, this is our next cycle, as the ones, I think that will lead up to the DLCs. And then the remaining 3 or 4 after that that we get will be released when the DLCs come out. But there might be more than 18 that get these Mightiest Mark. You know, it might not be just tied to 18. It might just be...
Well, you'd like to think that past the DLC, they're still going to do terror raids in the DLC, right? So,
yeah.
You know, because we still don't know how we're going to get the legendary Pokemon.
I think, though, with Scarlet and Violet, the life cycle of the Gigantamax terror raids until they did them all was about a year. It took them to get through all the Gigantamax Pokemon. And then what they did was special terror raid events for, like, increased shinies in them. But they've got the spotlight terror raids as well that they could do radically. So I think they'll continue doing them. But whether or not they'll be, like, they might be 7-star terror raids, but just not for Mightiest Mark Pokemon. For just strong Pokemon. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, speculation is fun.
Mm-hmm.
To a point, you just get frustrated because you just want answers. Because that's where I feel like I'm kind of at the moment.
We need answers, yeah. We need Masuda on the podcast.
Could you imagine one day?
Sit down with Masuda. I'm going to do... Okay, so I think that's enough speculation about what can happen this week.
I think
it'd be great to hear what other people think might be coming or what they think about Black and White 3 as well. Or if you all just think it's just a load of nonsense and we just have to sit tight and be patient for what's coming. But there's some speculations on what we could see potentially coming out in the next 2 weeks. The one thing that we can guarantee is that we will get something announced at Worlds. There will be a trailer, there will be a sneak peek at something new. That is always a guarantee for the games, for Scarlet and Violet, for Pokemon Go, for TCG and Pokemon Unite. They'll all get news of their own in some sort of way, shape, or form. So that's something to look forward to, and that is not that far away. So lead us on, my friend. Lead us on. Where are we going next?
Did you not want to show your...
I had it in my hand. Yeah, did you see me playing with it?
So, as an update... Oh, just a quick one. Okay. Scott's goodie bag. I haven't really got much this week. So an update on the Hefton situation. I did DM him. Haven't had a response.
He sent a fully, fully polite message to the guy to ask him if he'd come on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've seen my reaction to what he's been up to, and he's probably like, I can't come on.
These guys will roast me.
We will welcome you. We want to hear your story.
I'm going to check now and see.
After last week's podcast, I'm not joking, viewers, listeners, Scott was determined. He was like, he wasn't messing around, and he was like, let's get this guy on the podcast. He's fully behind this idea. We will keep trying. So maybe we get a response.
We have not had a response, but that doesn't mean he just might not have seen it yet. Okay.
Can you see if it's been read or not?
You can't. Oh, no.
Oh, that's disappointing. I it would be bad if you could see that he'd read it and he hadn't replied. So we could at least assume that he hasn't read it, because he's bombarded with DMs from all sorts of facets of the world about, you know, all sorts of different things other than Pokemon. He's probably a busy guy.
So you mentioned briefly to me just before the podcast, so we found this really cool device called the Analog Pocket that allowed you to play old Pokemon games and old Game Boy games and old GBA games on this new fancy, essentially, version of the Game Boy Color. But it didn't use emulation to play it. It used the proper old
hardware
for it to run. And Lee had one on order, but we wasn't sure when it was going to come out. And it was also quite spending as well. But you just told me... that you've cancelled it and you bought something else with it. Tell us what you've bought.
Yeah, I cancelled my pre-order. Primarily, I bought it really because I want to stream my older games. And I, like I mentioned on streams throughout the week, I could get myself a Game Boy adapter for my GameCube, but I'd rather not put like that much money down there. Expensive, the Game Boy player, then you got to buy the disc, then I got to buy a HDMI converter. So there's a lot of expense in it. And I've kind of already pre-ordered the Analog Pocket, which I was like pretty excited about. But with not knowing when the pre-order is going to be released, it says sometime it will be fulfilled in 2023, but that could be November or December. And I kind of feel like I'm not willing to wait that long. And I came across this a little while ago, the GB Operator. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it.
I think we showed it on the podcast.
Maybe, from Epilogue. And it's a device that will play Game Boy, GBA, there it is, yeah. And it plugs directly into your computer, to your PC. And then, you know, there's no need for a capture card. The other big thing is, as well, that it can do, it can identify whether or not a game that you've got, physical game, is authentic. So it will tell you if it's a not authentic game. And the other thing is, as well, you can back up your saves, which is a huge thing for especially like Red, Blue, and Yellow, and Gold, Silver, Crystal, that have that problem with the internal battery going dead. And if it does go dead, then your save data is gone. So a nice way to kind of preserve those saves that are maybe very old is a way through this where you can plug it in, you can save your data onto your PC, and then if that battery does go at any point, you can replace the battery in it and then just port the save data back onto your cartridge, which is really nice ability to do to kind of preserve that little bit of history from your childhood or whatever. So I ordered this on Sunday and it arrived today.
So, wow. Well, from the US?
Yeah. I don't know if it was shipped from the US, but they are a US company. I paid like $20 for shipping, so fair. But to be fair, they got it here really quick, like 2 days. I was like, how? Yeah, so I'm really excited to give it a go, mate. I really am. I'm excited to play all the old classics. And knowing that I've got this, if we get it in Mini Direct this week, they're going to be like, the classic collection are now available on the Switch. And I'm going to be like... But no. So I got that instead. And I cancelled my pre-order because I'm just like, I'd rather have the money back than just let it sit there and wait inevitably. And it could get delayed even further, you know, for the analog pocket. So a little bit sad about that, but I think it's a better decision all round.
Yeah.
And this was a fraction of the cost.
Yeah.
Like a fraction of the cost.
Worth for it, what it does. In my eyes.
So yeah, I haven't opened it yet, but do you want me to open it now?
No, save it. You can save it. You can open it on stream or something when you do a stream of it.
Yeah.
But no, excellent. We should definitely do some showing.
Yeah, the only
together.
Drawback with it is it uses emulation. So it rips the ROM from the cartridge and emulates it. But the emulator is very good. And all the reviews I've seen about this device from content creators is it's very good emulation. And it's almost flawless. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell. So that's the only drawback.
Excellent. I think we've pretty much. I don't have anything really this week.
Oh, you don't have anything.
Oh, just quickly check.
What about that thing I sent you earlier in the week?
Oh, there's a couple things. Hang on.
You could show that.
Hang on.
That was good.
I felt
that
bad.
That was funny. I didn't feel bad. I'm gonna be honest with you. I did not. There was not one part of me that felt bad. The only party I felt bad for was the lady in this situation. Yeah.
Okay, so why has it disappeared? What the fuck? Okay, never mind. It's disappeared. One sec. So
We'll get to it.
We're here. So some woman caught her husband cheating. And so she put all of his Pokemon cards up for sale. And I saw this originally. And in my head, I was like, this is kind of sad. And so I was like, just depressing for her. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to show this, but they sent it to me. I was like, yeah, all kinds of cards, don't know the price and don't care. Husband took his insert blank of 10 years over this. His loss, your win.
I think, like, I feel bad for her for 100%.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that's horrible.
It's horrible.
But I think he getting, you know, karma is, as they say, it will come and get you. So I think, like, you kind of deserve that, really, if that's what you've,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't treat people like that. It's awful.
No, of course you can't.
If you don't want to be with someone, just tell them. Don't go around doing that sort of stuff, or your Pokemon cards and your collection will get sold, and then you'll be crying into your pillow every night. Pokemon sleep will be going haywire because it'll be covered in tears and all sorts of bad things. So no, I just wish I'd seen that listed, mate. I would have been round there to pick them up.
These are mine, baby.
Yeah, no. But yeah, so a revenge story to finish the podcast off with tonight.
Yes, yes. Excellent. It's been a good podcast today.
It's been actually really good.
We had a big chat before the podcast. And it turned out very good, so I'm very happy.
It's been smashing.
I'm very
smashing.
Happy.
I'm very excited for the World Championships in a few weeks' time. The coverage of that's going to be exciting. They did drop a trailer as well today to kind of hype it all up. So it's going to be cool to see who the champions are going to be and what other things are going on there. They announced Gastrodon is going to be a mystery gift as well. And I think if you're in attendance, you can get a Tatsuguri, but I don't know if that'll be a mystery gift that everyone will be getting. But you will be able to get yourself an authentic Gastrodon that Edu won with last year, which is pretty cool. So,
would it be the right color, though? Would it be the right color, Gastrodon?
Of course, there's only one right color, and it is that right color because Edu, being a world champion, you know, I think sealed the deal with the right color Gastrodon. You can't argue with a world champion.
Hot topic of debate, guys. Which color is the better Gastrodon?
There's only one color. I don't know what. There is no question. There is only one color Gastrodon. There is only
what color
Gastrodon
is that?
Is only blue.
Only blue. Okay.
Only blue.
Okay.
There's no other color. I mean, you could count the shiny. The kind of turquoise. It's nice, but there is no other.
There is nothing
don't
else.
Don't try and discriminate against Gastrodon. Gastrodon.
I'm not discriminating. I'm just saying some people might have a different opinion. And those people may be wrong.
There's no opinion to have. It's either you like blue Gastrodon or you don't. There isn't another Gastrodon in existence.
There isn't any others.
No, I mean, you can't. Shellos is a pre-evolution. I mean, get Lou on the podcast. She'll back me up on this. Like,
she'll be on soon and we can have this discussion. But yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. So thank you guys for listening. Keep up the reviews on Spotify and whatnot and Apple. Did you manage to check if we had any reviews on Apple Podcasts at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't been in, mate.
But
I've been to check.
Let me just quickly check. Please leave us a review if you've been enjoying the podcast, and obviously let us know what you think because we do read. We both read all the comments, so
we
love doing this podcast. We've got 22, an extra 2 reviews now on Spotify. Love to see it. 5-star reviews. So.
Thank you so much.
We've got we really do appreciate it. We've got some ideas for the podcast going forward. And hopefully it should all be good and it should get better. But any suggestions we're going to take. And hopefully we're going to start... we're going to try and get...
two ratings on iTunes.
Two ratings.
Both 5 stars as well. So that's...
boom.
Thank you so much.
That's 24.
5 out of 5.
Let's go, baby.
Someone's going to listen to this and be like, these jokers, I'll show them. 1 star.
No.
No. No, we appreciate it. We appreciate it, friends.
We do appreciate it.
Yeah. Enjoy whatever comes out the rest of this week. We'll obviously talk about whatever does come out next week on the pod. We tried to delay this as much as we could, but we have to keep to that weekly schedule at the same time. Otherwise, there's no point in doing this.
Yeah, no. Obviously, we're going to keep to it and we're going to keep going. But call it now. Today, it's going to be dropped. They're going to announce something today, okay? In an hour's time, after this podcast drops, they're going to announce something. And if it doesn't, we'll cut this out of the podcast. Anyway.
All right, friends.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
For tuning in, as always. Yes. Like Scott said, have a great rest of your week and we will see you all on next week's podcast. So until then, friends, take care of yourselves. From me, Osiris, from Scott. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.